come forward a bit?
Yeah, sure.
Come forward.
I've got a couple of things I want to do today. Introduce Potter. We're going to talk a little bit about forestry and chorus. So, first off, if I can introduce Potter Williams, soon to be sworn in as an MP, and joining us for our caucus for the first time today. Potter is, of course, the newly elected MP for Christchurch East. He's going to be a wonderful addition to our caucus.
Do you want to come around here?
Absolutely delighted to have you with us. It was a fantastic result. Potter, our vote share was up from 32 to 61. Opponents down from 46 to 26, which is a pretty historic win and a clear message from the people of Christchurch East. So welcome to the caucus currently.
I just wanted to speak about the
by-election
day. You could have sent a tweet out on Saturday. Was that the wrong
reason? Yes, it was. It was an error. It was immediately deleted and reported by us to the returning officer. I regret.
The Electoral Commission is investigating. Do you think you might
have a penalty? We're fully cooperating in relation.
Sorry, sir. How was the mistake made?
Look, sometimes mistakes just appear and you do your best. Tuck it on the chin and if you try to put it right, that's what we're trying to do.
Did you send a tweet or was it someone else?
I did all that. Do you do all your own tweets? Not always.
The Electoral Commission said they weren't aware of the tweet until you sent it.
We might advise them to send them off this very soon.
On Saturday?
Yes.
Did you do the tweet yourself?
Yes, I did.
Why didn't you think about the day that you were tweeting
off? Yeah, it's one of those things. Look, you take it on the chin. Sometimes mistakes occur. You put it right and you take responsibility. That's what I've done. Okay, so I do have another couple of things that I'd like to talk about, which are serious matters. The first is the government's position that it will not pursue corporate manslaughter. Now, we've been discussing recently the issue of the Pike River. We've had tragic deaths in the forestry industry in the last 2 weeks. The Labor Party believes it's time that we progress corporate manslaughter, and we are very, very critical of the government for taking that off the table. I also just say in respect of chorus that Minister Adams is now backtracking again and saying that the advice from PricewaterhouseCoopers, Ernst & Young, was not a formal report and may not be released. This is yet another government U-turn. And when you take those two issues together, I'm afraid we see a very disturbing trend, which is the government bending over backwards to help big corporate interests but being very slow to address issues of worker safety.
Why do you think the government has gone so cold on corporate manslaughter?
You'd have to ask them that, but as I say, it's part of a trend where they seem to be soft on the top end of town and hard on the bottom.
They said that the corporate manslaughter charge hasn't worked in the UK. What's your view on that?
The advice that we've received is that it is a worthwhile addition to the legal framework, but it's currently a gap and it provides a strong incentive for good behaviour from directors and boards.
Yeah, why is it so important to have corporate manslaughter?
When matters of life and death, it's not sufficient for directors and boards simply to be able to get away with a financial penalty, which is often just insured away. This is a very personal sanction on directors and appropriate when matters of life and death for workers.
So you think it would have to carry the penalty of jail time for directors and senior managers?
It may well, and that would be the direction that we would head in, subject to further investigation.
There were some documents released yesterday by the Minister that mentioned that Egypt doesn't meet the Five Eyes partner. Do you have a communications minister that sees the Labour government? What can you tell us about that meeting and after that situation in the Labour government?
Well, look, the communications minister doesn't deal with matters of intelligence and security, so that's not a portfolio that I was dealing with at that time. My understanding is that the Five Eyes agreement is based on the NZ-UK-USA treaty, which prohibits the spying of citizens of any one of the Five Eyes partners by others.
So you were surprised then to read of that meeting yesterday?
I still have to review that in detail. My understanding remains that the terms of that treaty are valid and binding.
Do you think that the GCSB spies should have cooperated with the police? You know how the GCSB spies didn't offer to be interviewed by the police?
On the dot-com inquiry.
Look, it would be a matter that I would want to reflect on further on the detail. My inclinations would be that they should cooperate, but there may have been extenuating circumstances.
So you're still, Labour's still calling for an inquiry into the intelligence agencies. You're not worried about what it might unearth about what happened in the previous government?
No, you can't have two sets of rules. We need a framework for our intelligence and security activities which gets the balance right between protecting New Zealanders from the efforts of those who may seek harm or have other interests while preserving our rights and freedoms as New Zealanders. Now, it is my understanding that the NZ-UK-US treaty is binding and does prevent the surveillance by New Zealand of New Zealand citizens by other foreign rights parties, and I would expect that to be upheld.
So do you take the minister's word then, when he says that the GCSB won't accept him after that?
I don't take the Prime Minister's word that he doesn't know. I think the Prime Minister needs to be clear with the New Zealand public, and he should say whether he believes whether the treaty provisions currently hold. It's my understanding that they do and they should.
So you don't accept the Prime Minister at his word that he doesn't know whether the NSA is spying on New Zealand?
My suspicion is that he's using a fairly high bar for the word knowledge.
Will you be sitting in on the IFC hearings today?
Yes, I will.
And what will your line of questioning be?
Well, this is my first time up for these hearings, so I guess I'll be looking and learning as we go. I will be interested to gauge the amount of oversight that's actually provided by that process. Understanding it's the first time in the case of the SAS that they've held a public hearing of this nature.
Just because he genuinely doesn't know, shouldn't we find out?
I think it's a very important constitutional provision, Audrey, that he could expect the provisions of that treaty to hold. If there has been any abrogation of the terms of that treaty, then the public is entitled to know that as a matter of law and principle. That's different from providing information about individual operations. So the answer is yes.
So John Key should go to the GCSB and ask directly, does the NSA spy on New Zealanders? Is that what he needs to do?
I think he should seek an assurance from the GCSB that the terms of the treaty that we have signed are being upheld.
And why do you think he hasn't done that? Why didn't he do that yesterday?
I think he has a habit of being unduly evasive with answers to the New Zealand public. Obviously, there are operational matters he cannot talk about, but this is a matter of law and principle where I believe there's a strong public interest.
So, as Communications Minister, did you have any dealings with the GCSB when you were saying, are you relating to Five Eyes?
No, not as Communications Minister.
Not at all.
No, that's outside that portfolio. That's a matter for the Prime Minister as a Minister of Intelligence and Security.
Would a Labour government agree to the ACC's changes for medical levies, making it more expensive for old cars and cheaper than new?
But that's a matter we're still discussing. Prima facie, we don't want it to be a tax on poor people for new cars and other circumstances, so it's not just for some relation to risk and levy sales.
And what about ACC's proposals that this all will be taken off
Let me say very clearly that the ACC had a manufactured financial crisis. It was never as bad as it was painted. They used that to clamp down on payouts and did very harsh reviews of cases. Now they have a big surplus, and they should not waste time returning any surplus funds to New Zealanders, whether it's by way of reductions in fees on the motor vehicle account or other accounts.
Should ministers be making these decisions? That should not just be an opinion.
As I understand it, decisions about levy setting for ACC are normally proposed by ACC and referred to Cabinet for decision.
But they are reviewing, they've asked for a review next year of how it's done.
Look, a cynic would say the government's deliberately holding this back to election year to be part of an election year scramble.
Just on forestry, the government says that industry isn't in crisis, but there may be some prosecutions. Is that the right way to go about it?
How many deaths does it take for a crisis? Is 29 too many? Is 2 in 2 weeks too many? I think most New Zealanders would say that this is a crisis. New Zealanders expect to be able to go to work and come home and see their families safely. And if the government took the same attitude to the health and safety of workers that it takes to the health and safety of big corporations, we would have a better society to live in.
Should we be seeing some prosecutions?
Look, I think the law and the regulatory framework need change, and we'll have more to say about that in the near future.
John Key did say originally that he would resign if there was mass spying on New Zealanders. Yesterday he said that resignation wouldn't count if it happened under Helen Clark. What do you make of what he's saying there?
Well, I think the really interesting thing is he's saying that he would resign, and then a wee time later he says he doesn't know about the stuff that he said he'd resign over. I mean, it's not a very strong position, is it?
Only Adams actually said this morning
you
would release that.
My understanding is that she said this morning that it may not be a formal report, it may just be an oral briefing and it may not be releasable. So if you have heard differently, I would want to know that. Her previous statement was that she would be getting a formal report and that she would release it. Our information is that was likely to be on the dead of Christmas, and so we've called for the information to be released in full as soon as possible.
She was talking about the draft report.
I don't believe that they should be just getting an oral briefing on a matter that important, financially significant and sensitive. They get a proper written brief. That's why they've employed these international organisms. It's a cop-out.
You got called by the Securities Commission over the statements you made. Do you think
no complaint was made when I was exonerated?
Do you think the government has done all it could to keep the market informed of its position?
That's actually a very important point. The government had earlier said, and I think this is an important point, that they would look at overturning the decision of the Commerce Commission. Now, that would have had material consequences for Chorus and its shareholders. They then later said that they had no intention of doing so. The question which then arises is, did they inform Chorus of that matter, and did Chorus inform the exchange? Because that would have been material, and it would likely have been inside information.
Do you think Labor be putting forward a complaint? Or who would make a complaint to them?
We will be raising that issue further in the House today, and we'll be seeing where that goes when we hear the government's response. Thank you very much.